It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guide.
Welcome. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend, and we're in early February already. January gone. And I am looking forward to this because it's going to be a little bit more ice fishing. I've been doing a little bit of ice fishing. It's been good. But
oh, I think the truth is you're getting ready to go on vacation and with some palm trees.
So yeah, you're right. Really looking toes in the sand. But I've been ice fishing. We can talk about that a little bit later in the show too. But
you'd be playing some Kenny Chesney, I think.
Right. Yeah.
Welcome to the show. It's still the smokiest show on the airwaves, and sometimes the smoke we're raising comes off the grill from maybe some nice big steaks that you put on there. So to really talk technical steakology, we've got the master of steaks, Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats. How are you, brother?
Doing excellent. How are you guys today?
Hey, we're good, Tim. It's good to hear your voice.
Yeah, and it's only a week to go for the Swift Bowl, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah.
I don't know how she gets away with that, but right. Let's talk steaks.
All right, man.
You really had me scratching my head there for a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even Tim's got a little Swifty
Swift Bowl,
in him.
Yeah.
So we thought it might be nice to go through some basics because I think sometimes we tend to dive down a little bit too much and, you know, people, new listeners or people who weren't paying attention before, all the above, maybe want to get some good tips on everybody's dollar is dear right now. So we're looking for deals. So maybe we're going to go for something that's not the expensive stuff and we're going to try and find a steak that is more budget friendly.
That's a good thing to do. And so there's a handful of options for that. And another thing, actually, coincidentally, we just ended up with a heck of a buy on some ribeye steaks. So one of our suppliers, and you know, we don't usually do that pre-cut stuff, but they were pre-cut ribeyes, 10 ounces each. And we got them on sale for $9 a piece.
Wow.
And so off the regular price per pound, that's like $10 a pound off.
That's a breakfast steak job right there. Yeah, that'd go good with about three eggs and some hash browns.
Yeah, or it'd just go good with a plate and a knife as far as I'm concerned. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, we've talked about this before where before our son got married, we would do a red meat fest. And we only had two rules when it was just Tony and I. All we could have was meat for the meal, and we had to eat off the grill. So we just had two forks and two knives to wash up and put away.
That's funny. So I'm curious.
You took that steak and maybe on a side had like a boneless pork chop with it or a sirloin chop or maybe a chicken thigh with it. Then you're still doing two meats. And just kind of switch it up and make that one meat go a little bit further.
Well, I was really curious of what you think in terms of sending somebody out looking for a lower cost cut, what they should be looking at when they look at that cut of meat, when they're looking in the butcher case.
Well, any steak you're looking at, number one rule of thumb is you're looking for marbling, right?
Tell us what that is.
Anybody that, boy, I don't know all my cuts, and is it a good one or a bad one, whatever that is. So just the first thing I always look for is marbling. And actually, I'm looking in our case this morning, our local Wagyu. Oh, my gosh, those ribeyes are marbled just insanely.
And what is marbling?
The marbling is the fat veins that run through it. Not really a vein, but it looks like little trail marks of fat that runs through the meat.
So when you're looking at the main muscle part, the bigger chunk, you want it to see kind of like a spider web effect?
Yes. Yeah. And of fat. And that's where the flavor, they're going to help with the tenderness in that tissue is going to help that muscle to break down a little bit better also. And in the aging process, that's what's kind of breaking down and breaking that muscle fiber down also, making it more tender.
So, Tim, you just mentioned the term Wagyu. Wagyu, it's pronounced a couple different ways. I've heard it. But what's the significance of that? Because it's a different kind of cow, right?
Yes. And it's actually a Japanese breed of beef. And in Japan, they were using cattle instead of horses for their work animals out in the rice paddies and et cetera. And back in the 70s, they realized, so they were interbreeding those beef to be hard-working animals. Well, as we know, fat is energy. So if you took, like, you know, with us humanoids, take a bodybuilder, take an Arnold Schwarzenegger, they might look really big and ripped, but they don't have a lot of stamina. So it's a little bit more for show and not for go. So they were taking the harder-working animals, interbreeding those to make them work longer and harder, and they realized later those are the ones that have the most marbling in them. And then the true Wagyu or the Kobe, those are the ones they spit sake in Japan and rub them down and everything else. In the 70s were the first animals that came to the United States. And ever since, there are some purebred Wagyu that farmers have. The ones that we have, they call American Wagyu. It's a half-breed. So they'll take the purebred Wagyu, breed that to a domestic cow, makes a half-breed animal.
Yeah, but the thing is with those is that there's incredible marbling in there. I've had them before where there was so much marbling that it really changed the flavor. I mean, and I wasn't used to eating that rich of a steak, and it just my first bite was like, I'm not sure I like this, and then I learned to love it. But they are different, and if you get one of those, but they're still wonderful.
Yeah.
And what would you say, they're using red Wagyu or black Wagyu?
I don't know for sure because I haven't. He just gets the straws, so
yeah.
I don't know for sure, and I hate to speculate.
That's
and just
okay.
Say, oh, I know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
Because
we do it all the time.
Cows.
Yeah, you're talking to the grilling guys, Tim. So you ought to be just have at it, brother.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, it's the red black this time.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. That would be the roulette of cows. Yeah. 50-50. Right.
Yeah.
That's funny. Well, Tim, you know what? For the simplistic purpose, meat is graded in the United States as select, choice, and prime. Maybe tell us a little bit about that.
So part of that is how much marbling that animal has in it. And the other thing, if an animal gets over 30 months old, and the USDA uses, if they get a third tooth on the bottom jaw, they automatically disqualify them from being choice, and they put them into that select category. But other than that, it's the marbling, it's the quality that they're using. And even within choice, there's a choice one, the lowest choice, up to a choice five, and then after choice five is prime.
Okay, so moral of the story is you get a long in the tooth, you're not anybody's choice anymore, nor are you prime. It's tough to be selected. All right, that's what I got out of that.
Jesus. Yeah. Hey, so these steaks you've got on sale, are they choice?
Yes.
That's a deal.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, for $9.99 for a ribeye choice? Come on.
Yeah.
Nowhere in town are you doing that but Sobey Meats.
So hungry.
Right. But yeah.
And, so, you know, a couple other options in this time of year, maybe somebody doesn't want to spend as much time at the grill, it's too cold. A couple other options would be using like a flat iron steak, and that's a good bargain.
Tim,
you're at $10 a pound.
Tim, do you have a camera in the studio?
Yeah, that's
on the next segment.
Is it? Oh.
Do you want to hold on and do one more segment with us, because I love flat iron?
Yes.
Can you give us another 7 or 8 minutes?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, good.
Let's take a break, Chop.
Yeah, we will take a break. We're talking with Tim Sobey of Sobey Meats. We're going to bring you back for the next segment, because anytime you got the master meat on the line, you got a chance to learn. You're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family has been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Hi, this is Andy Havemeyer, operating owner of Wealthy Street Bakery, where we're more than just pastries. We also offer catering. From baked goods and coffee to sandwich platters and salads, we have something for everyone and every occasion. Let us make your next meeting or event simple and easy. We also can deliver. Check out our menu online or give us a call. Mention the Grilling Guys and receive a free cookie tray on your first order. Wealthy Street Bakery, your local caterer. Check out our menus online at wealthystreetbakery.com. and also at hallstreetbakery.com.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. Beautiful weekend. Get out in your backyard and fire up a grill. And what do you want to put on there? You want to put on a steak, right, Bob?
I think spring's coming.
Right.
That sun's coming up a little earlier.
I know. I love it.
My grill's looking lonely.
Right.
Time to wake her up again.
Well, we know how to fix that. We'll fill it with some meat from Sobey Meats. And on our live line right now, it is Tim Sobey. Thanks for sticking around, Tim.
Glad to do it. Thanks for inviting me in.
Oh, you bet. Now, we were talking in the first segment. We ended up on this flat iron steak. Let's pick that up where we left off. What is that steak? It's got a cool name, but tell us a little bit about it.
If you're familiar with a boneless English roast, it's actually part of that. So it's up in the front shoulder, part of the chuck. And back in the day, you would call it, they would give it a name like a petite steak.
Right.
And it was kind of round. And then in the middle of that is a layer of collagen. And a true flat iron, if you were to think of filleting a fish, you have the spine down the middle and the skin on the outside of each side. And you're going to take that fillet between the skin and the spine, right?
Right.
So that flat iron, there's the silver skin on the outside of that and then the collagen in the middle. So you're taking a fillet off each side of that collagen.
Interesting.
And so there's like zero waste to those. They're extremely tender and flavorful.
Now,
and they are a great value.
Now, in current health regimens, they're promoting collagen. They want us to eat more collagen.
Yeah.
What would you say to make a flat iron easier to, I guess, manipulate with all that collagen? Would you diamond score?
Well, I know there's other markets that leave that collagen in, and in my opinion, you almost have to, I'm going to say, render that down a little bit, right?
Okay.
So if you have like a pot roast, naturally the other connective tissue and collagen and in the bone, you're going to get that collagen in there as well. But if you're doing kind of like a medium rare steak, that collagen might not have a chance to gel out enough.
Right.
So would you
be a little bit chewy?
Would you want to grill it on a lower heat and try and reduce some of that collagen and fat a little bit to get your center piece up to a medium rare? Could you go with a lower heat?
I don't know. If it was me, I would just go to a different butcher shop that doesn't need the collagen in it. That's what I would do.
I know, but I have kids who are health freaks, and they're promoting all sorts of things like...
Well, they didn't learn that at home, did they, Tim?
Healthy eating.
Well, then I guess at that point, then to back that up, I would do my sear and then move it over and slow that down and
okay.
Give that collagen a chance to gel out.
Okay.
Yeah, but anyway, that sounds... That's gelling out, that's a technical term. What it really means is it's softening up a little bit so it doesn't have a real chewy texture to it, but the flavor's there. And as Bob stipulated, the collagen is good for us, does a lot of good things for us, so that's cool. So this flat iron, Tim, people don't know, is there how much of it is on the cow? I mean, is that something you got in your meat case all the time?
Yes, we do. And off a side, well, there's two steaks we get off each side. So let's say there's maybe 2 to 3 pounds on an animal.
Right.
Yeah, there's not a lot on an animal.
And what is flat iron selling for currently in Michigan, roughly, in a good shop like yours?
In our shop, we got it for $9.99.
Wow, that's a deal.
That is a deal.
Because there's not much on each cow.
Unless you know a butcher that has $9.99 ribeyes, and then you might buy those instead for the same $10.
There you go. I'm upgrading right now, doggone it.
Yeah. So let's talk a little sirloin, because I think I get a little confused about sirloin, top sirloin, bottom round, all this. What's your favorite cut of sirloin, other than an inch and a half, 2 inches thick?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. It would be, well, and on the bone-in sirloin, there's filet mignon on there also. But on the sirloin itself, it would be the top sirloin part. So even though there's filet on there, yes, it's more tender, but there's more flavor in the top sirloin than the tenderloin.
Okay. And then can you get some reasonable marbling in top?
Absolutely. Absolutely, yep. So that is, and we've talked about that, you know, as we know many times on the show.
Right.
It's a great all-around cut.
Yes.
It's tender, flavorful, very versatile. Very good cost, whether you want to use it for stroganoff, mm-hmm. stir fry, just that inch and a half steak.
Shish kebabs. It's my go-to on shish kebab.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's interesting.
It's more tender than other cuts as well.
It's interesting, Tim. You said there's a piece of filet on there, but the sirloin's better. I'm in your camp 100% because everybody thinks the filet is like the best steak on the animal. It's probably one of the most tender, but it often lacks marbling. And
correct.
And you know, if I know anything that you've taught me, is fat is flavor.
And I've learned also that women, my wife in particular, but a lot of women will go right to the filet.
Right.
And I think one of the reasons is because of the tenderness, but it's also easier for them to cut.
Yeah.
And they like to be, you know, all dainty and everything while they're not like two guys with, you know, chainsaws eating it off a grill.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. That is one of my favorite cuts for shish kebabs, like Bob said, all puns intended. But anyway, Tim, what else you got in the meat case that's a good value?
Tri-tip is another one.
Oh.
And even flank steak. So flank is another thinner cut, similar to the flat iron.
Yeah, let's talk flank steak. Where is that located, other than in your case?
On a human, it's going to be way down by your crotch.
Okay. So are those available at your store?
Groin. What's that?
I said, are those available at your store?
Nothing. Oh. So
flat steaks? I can't say that.
Jeez, you can't say that.
If anybody has ever dressed a deer,
yes.
But whether it's a human or an animal, the flank is what's holding the guts up.
Yep.
So that's way down in the bottom pelvic area there.
Right.
And it's kind of a long striated muscle. But yet they are just full of flavor.
And what would you do with that?
What's that?
What would you do with that? Would you grill it real quick, or would you?
Yeah, yep. That's
pinwheel?
What I would do.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then many times, I know Teresa always says, "Cook once, eat twice." But taking the leftovers and using like a carne asada, if it's something for fajitas or stir fry or whatever that is, take the meat that you've already grilled. And use for leftovers into another dish. And like fajitas, it is the bomb. It is so delicious.
Yeah, it is. Tim, where can everybody find you?
3450 Remembrance Road in Walker.
Yeah, you can't miss it. It's on the west side of the road as you're going out to the highway. And there's so much more than a meat market there.
It's a destination now.
Yeah, it's a destination now. You got to get in there. He makes all his own salads and dips and things, too. And you got to... Oh, it's just wonderful. But
how many different jerkies do you have?
Let's see.
20 maybe?
Turkey, about 8.
Yeah.
And how about meat sticks?
Meat sticks, probably 14.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, hey, if you've not been there, make a trip to Sobey Meats. If you have been there, go back. It's a wonderful place. Tim, thanks for your time, and you enjoy your weekend.
Okay. Take care. Thanks for having me in, guys.
See you,
all right. That's Tim Sobey, Sobey Meats, man. He's one of my favorite guys on this planet. He's such a good guy, and his market is amazing. But you've been listening to the Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You've got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
The Grilling Guys.
Now hit me.
Oh, yeah. The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Always a pleasure to talk to Tim Sobey, not Sim Toby. Tim Sobey at Sobey Meats. And I just enjoy, I learn every time that we talk to him. But this is a steak show.
And I think because, you know, I'm kind of hypersensitive to the economy. I think, you know, I really wanted to gear it as much towards making it affordable for people as possible. And if you're in good standing now with money, stick around because it might change. So you might want to learn how to get a deal on a steak. And I wondered if you've ever grilled a round steak.
You know, I have. And because what I like to do is that is a stroganoff piece for me, I'll cut it up.
I'm talking about grilling it.
What's that?
I'm talking about grilling it.
Yeah, but I'll grill it first rather than cutting it up in little pieces and putting it in the,
on the grill?
No, like in a Dutch oven or something, because sure. I make my stroganoff in a Dutch oven. Yes, I did. I'm coming around. I'm not there yet, but I'm coming
the
around.
The Dutchman is coming around.
But a round steak. A round steak can be a little bit tough, so I like a medium rare, and I like to cook it quick, and those are two things that, and then once you put it in a soup, or you put it in a stroganoff or something like that, it's not to cook it more, it's just to mix it in with the stuff.
You know what, my mother, of course, I learned a lot of cooking from my mother, obviously. My dad didn't even know where the stove was. But
the cat did, but he forgot too. Old joke. Oh, if you've been listening for 15 years, you might know what that one meant. But
so she used to take her meat cleaver or her pounder, you know, tenderizer out.
Meat hammer.
And she would bang the heck out of that round steak and then probably dip it in flour and saute it and then make, I think it was like Swedish steak or
Swiss
whatever.
Swiss steak.
Swiss steak, yes.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Finlander fry.
Swedish steak is what it was in our house. But so you could actually do that if round steak's reasonably affordable.
Yeah.
And I noticed they're selling Eye of Round now and stuff like that. But I'm just saying if you had a jacquard or a hammer, meat hammer.
Right.
Tenderizer, you could do that with a round steak. It's fairly flavorful.
Yeah. Yeah. It is, and like I said, that's why I put it in things. That's not a steak I'm going to throw on my plate and just put a knife to it and start eating it. I like it mixed in with stuff because I don't want to overcook it, but I'd like to grill it to get a little char on it because when I put it in things, I just like that texture a little bit.
Growing up north, I had a good friend who was very, very popular in high school. He all the kids were in that family, just tremendous family. His dad was a Detroit Tiger long ago. But anyway, he actually lived in the garage because they had so many kids and they were living in a single wide. He lived in the garage, and he told
me why he's popular.
He told me these kids were all studs. They were just athletes like their dad. But he told me that he had never had a steak. So the next time I came over, I went in my mom and dad's freezer. I didn't know anything about steak, but we always bought a cow, right? So it said round steak, so I grabbed it. White paper, right?
Yeah, you were going to hang around with him. I get it. It all goes together.
I went over there. Yeah. And he had one of those electric griddles back there. And he threw
George Foreman?
He threw that on the... I'd like to get through a sentence. He threw that on the griddle.
Not going
to
happen.
And I just sat there and watched him eat it. And it was like the greatest epiphany ever had on food.
Right. Good, man. Well, I get it.
It's a round steak.
Yeah.
So you can make someone happy with a round steak. I know it's a long story, but you could take your Jacquard and tenderize one of those babies up. But
right.
I think, you know, we've done different events where we've done thinly sliced ribeye.
Well, those are, that is a fantastic cut of meat for Philly sandwiches. And you perfected that when we had the shop open in Lowell.
I think we're
going to
do that
ago.
On a flat top.
Yeah. Yep. I would too, because it's a little bit thicker than paper, but not much.
Right.
And you got
want a bunch of oil on it.
Right. Yep. And you got it. You know, you buy it cut like that. It's almost impossible to cut it like that at home. And they slice it on a meat slicer, and I think when it's partially frozen, maybe even, so they can get it that thin.
Likely.
Right. But what happens with that on the flat top is the texture.
It turns into a potato chip.
Yeah. It like withers up and it gets all in the curvy and stuff.
Yeah.
And that is a great chew when you take a bite of that, and there's always fat on a ribeye, right, and fat in a ribeye, and that's woven through the meat. Yep. And that Philly steak with, how'd you make that?
A little garlic, salt,
yeah,
a little pepper.
Right.
And real quick.
And then peppers and
onions.
A little
pink on the inside.
Yes. Yeah, always.
Yeah.
Always a little medium to medium rare. It's not going to hurt you. It's paper thin, but it's also
but
just so flavorful.
But it's just great for a sandwich.
Oh, yeah. Just amazing. Makes my mouth water.
Are you getting hungry?
Yeah. So now you got to describe, give me 5-10 seconds of how do you make that Philly?
Well, we've covered that plenty of times, but it, you know, if you've got a Blackstone like Randy has, or just a griddle in your kitchen like my buddy had,
right?
You throw that on there on a high temperature. Yeah, and that was his kitchen. you know, real quick on some extra virgin olive oil and saute it up with some garlic and onions.
Right.
And maybe put some garlic butter on your French roll and flip it down.
Yeah, get a little crispy.
Get some of those nice big French rolls from Hall Street Bakery.
Yeah.
Yeah. And anyway, put some whatever your favorite cheese is on it. I happen to love a sharp cheddar.
Right.
But a little mozzarella or five blend Italian with it's good. And I always shred my own cheese. I don't buy the shredded cheese anymore.
Yeah.
I did in the kitchen because of the volume.
Right.
But if you buy a nice block of cheese, you're gonna get all the oils. If you buy the bagged shredded, they cover it in starch.
Right.
So if you're trying
to
get any of the fats out of that cheese, you'll never see it. It'll just clump.
Right.
So New York strip is one that people always have trouble with.
Why? What do you think
it's so lean.
Yeah, and it's half of a porterhouse or half of a T-bone. Usually the bigger half is what's called the New York strip on one side of the bone. The other side of the bone is a fillet, right? So if you're looking at that, it's a long rectangular cut. I will tell you that a couple weekends ago, I went over to Pheasant Hunt over in the Thumb, and I went up to Tim, and he gave me inch and a half cut New York strips. That's what I served the guys. There's going to be a fat rind all the way around one side.
Did you leave it on or you take it off?
I left it on.
Yeah.
I left it on because there was these were beautifully marbled, though.
Uh-huh.
He cut me some good steaks. But the thing was is that when you cut that New York strip, you get a little piece of that rind on there, and it's just a flavor burst in your mouth when you take the bite of that. And needless to say, I did them on the tech. It was 2 degrees out when I did it, but, man, that infrared just did a fantastic job. And those guys, I didn't even bring steak knives. I just brought butter knives because I knew it worked.
So if you're going to do New York strip, this is not a value piece. So don't try and make it a value piece and get the select.
Yeah, don't do that.
Because I did that once for a very large event.
Yeah.
And I was very unhappy with the outcome. Do not do select strips.
Yeah, you want some marbling. You want some marbling in those.
So minimum choice.
Right, yep. And these were really nice. Of course, you can't go wrong at Sobey Meats. I mean, come on. This is what they do as a business. And they got a grocery store, got beer and wine there too. But
yeah, if you find select steaks there, it's going to be in the meat sticks.
Yeah, right. You ground up, put in the meat sticks. But a New York strip is a good cut. Grills very well. Inch to an inch and a half, and
if it's on a plate, nice too.
Yeah, it does.
You know, so we haven't had our friend Big Paulie on in quite a while, but he's going to be in the next segment, and Paulie's fully retired now, and I think it'd be great. You talk about a guy who loves steaks. This is a big Goomba.
You know?
He loves some steak.
He's from Jersey.
He's from Pennsylvania.
Oh, he moved to Pennsylvania?
He lives in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
He just worked in Jersey.
Ah,
when you get out there, you know, it's
kind
of the devil's triangle.
Right, exactly. But so coming up next, it's Big Polly, and he's the Goomba from the East Coast. And is he still involved in the radio business, too?
No, he's retired.
Oh, retired out of that as well. So he's all done. I know he had other jobs. That was another one. But anyway, so you list the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's Big Polly and a Goomba Steak. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Barbecue Bob for Garrett's Appliance. Lots of folks are remodeling, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to go to Garrett's Appliance. They made my kitchen the perfect example of elegant and functional. Visit either location, 29th Street in Kentwood or 28th Street in Wyoming. Garrett's Appliance also has a super lineup of patio kitchen equipment, and you can count on their design team for a perfect outdoor grilling area. Visit garrettsappliances.com. That's garrettsappliances.com.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, Bob, we got Big Polly coming up next. It's been a while since we've talked to him.
That's right. Paul used to be the president of the New Jersey Broadcasters Association, which is where I met him when I was at a convention out there. We were fast friends, and we've been brothers ever since, and we just have too much fun hanging out together, and he's a wealth of knowledge, and he loves good food.
Yes, he does. Great guy to have on the show, and he's one of our board of directors.
So welcome back to the show, Paul, how are you?
Thanks, Bob. Thanks, Jop. It's great, man. It's great to be back, I'll tell you.
Paul Rotella, you live in Pennsylvania. You've spent most of your career in the cities. How you liking living out on the lake now?
Well, I got to tell you, it's been really cold. We have not had one day above freezing until yesterday this year. So, and when I say above freezing, the average temperature has been in the low single digits.
Yeah, that'll put ice on the grill, wouldn't it?
Why don't you two?
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you two head down to Lauderdale? You like hanging out in Lauderdale.
I'm ready to go, Bob. Let me know when.
Yeah.
I am so ready to go to Florida.
Yeah.
The problem is, I may not come back.
Yeah.
So we're talking about steak, and I'm wondering if you have a certain steak that you prefer to make, and what you do when you're doing that.
Well, you know, steak is. Steak is fun because it takes, you know, people don't realize this. Steak takes a lot of skill to cook. You know, steak is very easy to acquire. You can buy it in almost any supermarket. And there's a whole host of different cuts you can pick. But you got to be careful because some cuts can be very fatty. Some can have some tremendous sinew and muscle in it. It makes it tough. And some cuts are just perfect. You know, my favorite cut, of course, would be a Kansas City ribeye. I know that sounds nuts because that's hard to find in a local supermarket, but if you have a good butcher, he can cook you a nice 2-inch steak. And I would recommend a 2-inch steak because you want to make sure it's thick enough so that you can get a nice crust on it. You know, you want to, like I like making it Pittsburgh medium, which I don't know if you're familiar with that, but Pittsburgh kind of keeps the outside seared and charcoaled a little bit. You get a nice, you know, beautiful crust on it, and the inside is close to raw, if you can make it close to raw. And from the inside to the out, it's a nice medium red color.
Well, that's where the 2-inch works in your favor.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, rarely does that happen, but in this case it does.
And, you know, Bob, and one of the things you got to remember, and I know you know this, you got to make sure you give your steak time to rest. People don't even, you know, most amateur chefs don't understand what resting means. And you got to let that muscle fiber, believe it or not, relax.
I think all meat has to do that in my book, because what's the cooking process? You're heating up a muscle that's filled with fluids, right? And those fluids want to transfer from end to end of that meat or throughout that cut.
Well, from hot to cold, it's trying to get away.
It's migrating, yeah. Right. And then when you're done cooking it, if you cover it and let it sit on a butcher block for a while, covered, those juices redistribute. And then when you make your cuts into it, you're not losing all your juice.
Right.
That's right. You don't want the best part of the steak, you know, sliding out onto the plate.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Steaks are not made for dipping.
But that goes with, you know, picking a great piece of meat, you know. My son wanted me to tell you that he disagrees with me. He believes the ribeye is the king of steaks. But I love a nice Kona cut, or, you know, I love a great porterhouse, you know, because they get the filet mignon, they get the strip.
Right.
And usually you can get it cut a little thicker at your butcher, which makes it a better steak, in my opinion.
Yeah, again, you can get the crust on the outside is two things. It has to do with the seasoning. I'm interested in how you season that your steak. And then the second one is when it's hot, you get a little texture out there that's got a little bit of crunch to it, where the center on a thicker steak is still buttery soft.
How's our friend in Atlantic City who makes the matz at the table?
Oh, you're thinking of 2825.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my God.
Still...
I was just there about a month ago, and
really?
He is doing great, thank God. The place is still rocking and rolling. It's still hard to get into, but thank God. That's one of the benefits of being me. I get some special privileges.
Well, that's all I heard throughout Atlantic City is if you want to get in there, you got to talk to Paul.
Well, you know, it's weird. I get so many people calling me, and I'm thinking, oh, they're calling to see how I'm doing. And within 2 minutes, the conversation goes, are you in Atlantic City? No. Yeah. Are you going to? No. Can you call Joe? And I say, well, maybe I can call Joe. I'll let you know. But I do get a kick out of that because now I'm starting to make a new rule. You can't use my name unless I'm with you.
Yeah, well, there you go.
I told Joe that if someone comes in and mention my name, tell him you don't know who I am.
Now, it seems like we got some pretty good steaks right down the street a little bit at the Palms, was it called?
Oh, the Palms, yeah.
Yeah.
The Palm restaurant is great.
Yeah.
You know, one of my favorites is the Capitol Grill. That chain does a very consistently good job. The Palm does a good job. Some of my favorite steakhouses, though, are the little ones that are, you know, one of a kind.
Right.
One of them is right next to Giant Stadium. We used to go after every football game to a little place called Steve's Sizzlin' Steaks. And he has a very special, unique way of making a steak, Chop. You'll get a kick out of this. He takes the steak after he's cooked it and throws it onto a searing hot metal plate. And he pours something called Maggi sauce over the whole steak. And then he dumps a bunch of French fries on top. And that Maggi sauce sears and gives this, starts to bubble and actually gives the steak a second coating of this beautiful sauce. And it gets into the French fries. And between me and you, I didn't even put nothing else on it. Maybe a little ketchup, but for the French fries. But it is a delicious steak. It's totally different.
And that's pretty famous. That's pretty famous, too.
Oh, it got too famous. They expanded it, and they raised their prices like 400%. Yeah. It used to be, you go in there for $30 and get the greatest steak of your life, fully served, everything. Now it's about $70 for the same type of service.
Yeah, but happened in a lot of places.
And I'm glad they haven't, you know, a lot of places shut down during COVID.
Right.
But they managed to stay open, which is important.
Yeah, exactly. So what do you use for seasoning, Paulie, on your steaks? Well, what do you like?
Well, I think, Bobby, you're gonna love this. You know, I'm a pretty simple guy. In my opinion, the best way to season a steak is to take a half a stick of butter, put it in a pan. If you want, you can put a couple cloves of garlic in there. I don't even do that. I just like taking the butter and taking the, tilting the pan down with a tablespoon and just drowning the steak with butter. I keep putting it on, basting it. Even if it bubbles up a little bit or starts to turn, you know, like a little frothy, that's not bad because you're getting a nice brown butter baste by doing that. And the steak will glisten with that butter. And you can't put enough butter on a steak, you know. And then you finish it off with a pat of butter.
Well, that's funny because, you know, Ruth's Chris, they take they use actually infrared to broil theirs, and the burner comes down from the top. But so they do that, and then they take that steak and they dip it in butter before they put it on your plate.
You know, and I got to tell you, Ruth's Chris has gotten better. About 35 years ago, I went to the first time I went to Ruth's Chris. It was in Philadelphia. And I didn't like it. And I think it was because they didn't understand what I was talking about in terms of what Pittsburgh media meant. And, you know, you got to explain that to people. People don't always say, oh, I know what that is. They don't.
Especially in Philly.
Yes. But you would think you're in Pennsylvania, for God's sake. How hard is that to do? But, you know, don't take anything for granted. Not if you're going to eat that steak and you want to enjoy it. And you're going to pay, nowadays, you're going to pay $50 for a decent steak at a restaurant.
Yeah,
for
Ruth's Chris,
you're going to pay $100.
Ruth's Chris, yeah, you'll spend $100 easy.
By the way, you know, I was really pleasantly surprised. I was at, ever hear of Vic and Anthony's Steakhouse?
Nope,
yeah,
I have not. But
it's over. It's in Atlantic City in the Golden Nugget. Okay, it's an old fashioned steakhouse, right in the Golden Nugget. They made a beautiful porterhouse. Cost me $135. You know what? It was worth every penny. It was perfectly cooked, perfectly seasoned. You know, I was surprised, quite frankly.
We're about out of time, buddy, but last time I was in Philly, I got to see Coach Vermeil. He was on the show last week, and I'd love to come out there and hook you guys up sometime. He's a wonderful person.
Oh, I think that would be great. And let me tell you guys keep doing what you're doing, and let's hook up again.
Sounds great, Paul. Paul Rotella.
Thanks, guys. And we're wishing you some warmer weather. Right.
Oh, please, we'll take that. I'm looking forward to it, guys. Let's talk about some great steak recipes on the barbecue when the temperature gets above freezing again.
Yeah. All right, buddy.
Perfect.
Take care.
All right, thanks. You've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're here each and every week. We appreciate you tuning in. Get out in your backyard, fire up a grill, and create some grill envy in your neighborhood.
See ya.